Our scripture reading this evening is found in the book of the prophet Jeremiah and chapter 50. Jeremiah chapter 50. This last part of, or last major part of the book of Jeremiah is composed of oracles spoken to the nations. God speaking to the nations around Jerusalem, around Israel. It begins in chapter 46 and carries on through chapter 51, which is then followed by a sort of epilogue that speaks of the fall of Jerusalem. And the last two chapters, 50 and 51 of this final block, are chapters that speak to Babylon, that speak against Babylon. So Jeremiah chapter 50. The word that the Lord spoke against Babylon and against the land of the Chaldeans by Jeremiah the prophet. Declare among the nations, proclaim and set up the standard. Proclaim, do not conceal it. Say, Babylon is taken. Bel is shamed. Merodach is broken in pieces. Her idols are humiliated. Her images are broken in pieces. For out of the north a nation comes up against her, which shall make her land desolate, and no one shall dwell therein. They shall move, they shall depart, both man and beast. In those days and in that time, says the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together. With continual weeping they shall come and seek the Lord their God. They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces toward it, saying, Come and let us join ourselves to the Lord in perpetual covenant that will not be forgotten. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. All who found them have devoured them. And their adversaries said, We have not offended. Because they have sinned against the law, the habitation of justice, the law, the hope of their fathers. Move from the midst of Babylon. Go out of the land of the Chaldeans and be like the rams before the flock. For behold, I will raise and cause to come up against Babylon an assembly of great nations from the north country. And they shall array themselves against her. From there she shall be captured. Their arrows shall be like those of an expert warrior. None shall return in vain, and Chaldea shall become plunder. All who plunder her shall be satisfied, says the Lord. Because you were glad, because you rejoice, you destroyers of my heritage, because you have grown fat like a heifer threshing grain, and you bellow like bulls, your mother shall be deeply ashamed. She who bore you shall be ashamed. Behold, the least of the nations shall be a wilderness, a dry land and a desert, because of the wrath of the Lord. She shall not be inhabited, but she shall be wholly desolate. Everyone who goes by Babylon will be horrified and hiss at her plagues. Put yourself in array against Babylon all around. All you who bend the bow, shoot at her. Spare no arrows, for she has sinned against the Lord. Shout against her all around. She has given her hand. Her foundations have fallen. Her walls are thrown down, for it is the vengeance of the Lord. Take vengeance on her. As she has done, so do to her. Cut off the sower from Babylon and him who handles the sickle at heart of time. For fear of the oppressing sword, everyone shall turn to his own people and everyone shall flee to his own land. Israel is like scattered sheep. The lions have driven him away. First the king of Assyria devoured him. Now at last this Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, has broken his bones. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will punish the king of Babylon and his land, as I have punished the land of Assyria. But I will bring back Israel to his home, and he shall feed on Carmel and Bashan. His soul shall be satisfied on Mount Ephraim and Gilead. In those days and in that time, says the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought, but there shall be none. and the sins of Judah, but they shall not be found, for I will pardon those whom I preserve. Go up against the land of Meraphim, against it, and against the inhabitants of Pekod. Waste and utterly destroy them, says the Lord, and do according to all that I have commanded you. A sound of battle is in the land, and of great destruction. How the hammer of the whole earth has been cut apart and broken! How Babylon has become a desolation among the nations! I have laid a snare for you. You have indeed been trapped, O Babylon, and you were not aware. You have been found and also caught, because you have contended against the Lord. The Lord has opened his armory and has brought out the weapons of his indignation. For this is the work of the Lord God of hosts in the land of the Chaldeans. Come against her from the farthest border. Open her storehouses. Cast her up as heaps of ruins and destroy her utterly. Let nothing be left. Slay all her bulls. Let them go down to the slaughter. Woe to them, for their day has come, the time of their punishment. The voice of those who flee and escape from the land of Babylon declares in Zion the vengeance of the Lord our God, the vengeance of his temple. Call together the archers against Babylon, all you who bend the bow in camp against it all around. Let none of them escape. Repay her according to her work. According to all she has done, do to her. For she has been proud against the Lord, against the Holy One of Israel. Therefore her young men shall fall in her streets, and all her men of war shall be cut off in that day, saith the Lord. Behold, I am against you, O most haughty one, saith the Lord God of hosts. For your day has come, the time that I will punish you. The most proud shall stumble and fall, and no one will raise him up. I will kindle a fire in his cities, and it will devour all around him. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the children of Israel were oppressed along with the children of Judah. All who took them captive have held them fast. They have refused to let them go. Their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. He will thoroughly plead their case, that he may give rest to the land and disquiet the inhabitants of Babylon. A sword is against the Chaldeans, says the Lord, against the inhabitants of Babylon, and against her princes and her wise men. A sword is against the soothsayers, and they will be fools. A sword is against her mighty men, and they will be dismayed. A sword is against her horses, against her chariots, and against all the mixed peoples who are in her midst. And they will become like women. Sword is against her treasures, and they will be robbed. A drought is against her waters, and they will be dried up. For it is the land of carved images, and they are insane with their idols. Therefore the wild desert beasts shall dwell there with the jackals, and the ostriches shall dwell in it. It shall be inhabited no more for ever, nor shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. As God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighbors, says the Lord, so no one shall reside there, nor son of man dwell in it. Behold, a people shall come from the north, and a great nation and many kings shall be raised up from the ends of the earth. They shall hold the bow and the lance. They are cruel and shall not show mercy. Their voice shall roar like the sea. They shall ride on horses, set in array like a man for battle against you, O daughter of Babylon. The king of Babylon has heard the report about them, and his hands grow feeble. Anguish has taken hold of him, pangs as of a woman in childbirth. Behold, he shall come up like a lion from the floodplain of the Jordan, against the dwelling place of the strong. But I will make them suddenly run away from her. And who is a chosen man that I may appoint over her? For who is like me, and who will array me, and who is that shepherd who will withstand me? Therefore hear the counsel of the Lord that he has taken against Babylon, and his purposes that he has proposed against the land of the Chaldeans. Surely the least of the flock shall draw them out. Surely he will make their dwelling place desolate with them. At the noise of the taking of Babylon, the earth trembles, and the cry is heard among the nations. And may God bless the reading of his most holy word. Our text this evening is found in the chapter that we read, Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 34. Their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. He will thoroughly plead their case, that he may give rest to the land and disquiet the inhabitants of Babylon. Their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. It's an interesting chapter to read, Jeremiah chapter 50. A chapter that is full of twists and turns, rising and falling. A chapter that speaks of the downfall of Babylon and the deliverance and the pardon of God's people. Because ultimately there are two cities in this world. The great North African theologian, Augustine of Hippo, when the city of Rome was ransacked by the Visigoths, wrote a book called The City of God. And in it, he speaks of these two cities. There is the city of man and the city of God. And Babylon is the city of man, and Zion is the city of God. They have different founders. They have different histories. They have different trusts. And they have very different ends. The one city is the city founded by man in sin. A city that goes on in sin, that trusts in self and ends in destruction. The other is the city that is founded by God. That lives in God, that looks to God, and whose end is salvation. Israel and Babylon, Jerusalem and Babylon, we cannot think of a greater contrast than between these two cities, and we see it here in this chapter. The one city is doomed to destruction, the other is foreordained to salvation. And the difference between the two is simply the grace of God. Babylon here is, of course, not simply Babylon on the Euphrates, but the city of man, that city that must fall in the end, that city whose smoke must go up unto heaven. We see here, first of all, a great reversal. Secondly, we see God's terrible retribution. And thirdly, we see his glorious restoration. First, we see the great reversal. This is written when Israel and Judah are in captivity. This is written in a situation where these peoples have been lost sheep, verse 6. And all who found them have devoured them. They are sheep without a shepherd. And they are surrounded by wild animals, vicious and terrible. They were oppressed, verse 33. The children of Israel were oppressed along with the children of Judah. All who took them captive and held them fast, they have refused to let them go. They were oppressed, and they were oppressed because of their sin. Samaria fell because of the sin of Samaria. The golden calves, the sin of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel sin. Judah fell because of their pride, their refusal to hear the word of God that came by Jeremiah. The adversaries were quite accurate when they said, they have sinned against the Lord, the habitation of justice, the Lord, the hope of their fathers. Israel suffered for sin. It was the sin of the nation, and therefore even the righteous in the nation, people like Jeremiah, suffered, and suffered terribly. The nation's sin brought them very low. And so they were oppressed. Babylon was a great city. In the time when Jeremiah is writing, Judah, Jerusalem lies in ruins, Samaria lies in ruins. The leaders of the people have been carried off into captivity in these great waves of captivity, as it were. First of all, when Samaria fell and the Assyrians carried off the leaders of the people, the upper classes, and the middle classes, and left only the poor in the land. And then Babylon, first of all, carried away that first great group of exiles. Those exiles among whom, most famous of course, is Daniel. Daniel and his friends were carried away into exile in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with some of the articles of the house of God which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. Among the sights and sounds of Babylon, there is Daniel and his friends, and they are captives. And then, in the year, at the end of the reign of King Zedekiah, Jerusalem was destroyed, and the remainder carried off captive, and just again, the very poor left in the land. Judah was at its very lowest point, the people of God at their lowest point. But Babylon was riding high. Babylon was the great nation, the great city on the Euphrates, a city filled with treasures plundered from every nation the Babylonians had taken. It was a military power. Its architecture was fantastic. To this day, we have the stories of the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. We don't know what they looked like, but they were reputed one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. And the ruins that have been discovered of Babylon are amazing. They had such a culture. They had such military might. They had such wealth, such power. And yet Babylon will fall. Babylon will be destroyed. Babylon is taken. Bel is shamed. Merodach is broken in pieces. Bel and Merodach, of course, are two of the idols, the chief idols of the Babylonians. Babylon had been that great nation from the north that came down and invaded Judah. But you see, there's always a nation to the north. By this point in Jewish literature, the language of the aggressor from the north have become proverbial. We must remember that to the south of Israel, Judah is the Negev, a desert. Invaders didn't like to cross the desert, so they would come round and they would come down from the north. But there's a north for Babylon as well. A north that is going to attack. A north that will destroy Babylon itself. That there will be an invader attacking the nation that has been invaded. The nation that invades is itself invaded. The nation that destroys is destroyed. Those who have exalted themselves and said we are mighty find that there is a mightier one. Verse 9, behold, I will raise and cause to come up against Babylon an assembly of great nations from the north country. And they shall array themselves against her. From there she shall be captured. Their arrows shall be like those of an expert warrior. None shall return in vain. Every shot counts. Every shot finds its mark. The Medes and the Persians attacked. The Medes and the Persians overwhelmed Babylon. And Chaldea shall become plunder. Babylon will fall. Babylon will fall, but Jerusalem will rise. The people of God will rise. They who were oppressed In those days and in that time, says the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together. They were long sundered by the sin of Solomon, by the utter folly of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel sin, the folly of King Rehoboam, a man who, succeeding his father Solomon, boasted of his might and power, who boasted saying, "My father chastised you with whips, but I shall chastise you with scorpions. I shall make your burden heavier than he did." And funnily enough, the people of Israel replied, "We don't want that," and they proclaimed Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, their king. Long severed, and yet they shall come together. With continual weeping they shall come and seek the Lord their God. It is a reversal that can only happen because of God's work. Their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. It is God's work. It is God who delivers his people, who is the only saviour of his people. And the nation that has been trampled in the dust is to be raised up. And the nation that has trampled all the other nations is itself to be trampled. Because, and here's our second point, of the retribution of God. Babylon was indeed used as God's instrument of judgment against his people. And yet their adversaries said, verse 7, "We have not offended." But the reality was they had offended. Verse 11, "Because you were glad, because you rejoiced, you destroyers of my heritage. Because you have grown fat like a heifer threshing grain, and you bellow like bulls." The pride of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar himself spoke and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have made?" And God smote him with madness and brought him at last to his senses. But Babylon did not learn. Babylon remained proud. Babylon attacked God himself. Verse 24, "You have contended against the Lord." They did not see themselves as doing God's work, but as doing their own work. And they praised the gods of silver and gold and stone and wood. And the God who holds their breath they did not glorify. "She has been proud against the Lord, against the Holy One of Israel." God hates pride. God hates the haughty, lifted up attitude that says, "We are better. I am better than others." God hates that attitude. But God gives grace to the humble. They were God's instruments. They contemplated Israel's sin. Or they could say, indeed, when Jerusalem fell, they could say, this is the result of their sin. Indeed, his fury and anger were poured out upon them. And Babylon spoke. Indeed, of this we find Jeremiah chapter 40 and verse 2. "The captain of the guard of Babylon took Jeremiah and said to him, 'The Lord your God has pronounced this doom on this place. Now the Lord has brought it and has done just as he said. Because you people have sinned against the Lord and not obeyed his voice, therefore this thing has come upon you.'" This Babylonian soldier saw the truth. But the Babylonians were lifted up in heart and they said, "And we are the great superpower. And so God's judgment comes. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. It's not God's people who execute his vengeance here. God's people are poor and oppressed. God's people are under the power of Babylon. They do not rise up and overthrow Babylon, but God sends the assembly of great nations. God sends the Medes and the Persians against Babylon. God opens his armory, verse 25, and has brought out the weapons of his indignation. And so whatever the politics, whatever the military facts of the campaign, this is the work of the Lord God of hosts in the land of the Chaldeans. God is at work. For their day has come, the time of their punishment. His day is appointed. He has appointed a day. Now here we have a day appointed to judge that great nation, that city of Babylon. But he's appointed a day on which he shall judge all mankind by the man whom he has appointed, the man Christ Jesus. The voice of those who flee and escape from the land of Babylon declares in Zion the vengeance of the Lord our God, the vengeance of his temple. Those who struck the Lord. Now the temple had become, for far too many, a sort of fetish, a thing that was appealed to. God will not allow his temple to be destroyed, and of course he did. But that didn't mean that God did not put any value at all upon his temple, the temple of the Lord. Now, today, of course, there is no temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. But you are his temple. We are the temple of the Lord, says the apostle, in whom he dwells by the Holy Spirit. And those who attack the temple of the Lord, it happens today. Many nations, many Islamic nations, for example, Communist China, Communist North Korea, many attack the temple of the Lord. They attack the church. They seek to undermine it. They seek to destroy it. And God will not hold guiltless those who attack his temple, those who attack his people. The vengeance of his temple, not a building in Jerusalem now, but his people. His retribution comes, and his judgments in time remind us of the judgment that will come at the end of the age. Of the day of judgment when Christ will sit as the judge over all the earth. And there is but one remedy for that. And so we come to our third and final point, the restoration. Their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. We have this wonderful picture in verse 20. In those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought, but there shall be none, and the sins of Judah, but they shall not be found, for I will pardon those whom I preserve. I will pardon, he says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins from us. It is a marvellous thing to consider the Lord's deliverance. It is a matter of pardon, of grace. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be as snow. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. So Israel's restoration, the restoration of the people of God, is not a restoration based on merit. At least not their own merit. A restoration based upon our Redeemer. We need a Redeemer. Now this is language, of course, that ancient Israel, ancient Judah would understand very readily. It's the language of the kinsman redeemer, that work that is pictured for us so beautifully in the book of Ruth. The near kinsman with the right of redemption, the one who can deliver, who can buy back the helpless, the poor, the needy. Their Redeemer is strong, the kinsman. And God has become our kinsman. That's the incarnation. He became man. He is our kinsman. He became man for us and for our salvation. He took our human nature. He was born of Mary. True man. He who is eternal God took to himself a human nature. And he wears that human nature now. He is God and man. The God-man is now forever God, forever man. How marvellous is the mystery of our redemption. And he became man that he might pay the price for us. The Redeemer delivers by the payment of a price. The price, his own blood, his own life. He died for us on Calvary. We are redeemed by his precious blood, as the Apostle Peter puts it so gloriously in his first epistle. You were redeemed. You were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. There is no other redemption, no other salvation than the salvation that comes through Christ's blood. He is our Redeemer. And their Redeemer is strong, stronger than death. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore and hold the keys of death and of Hades, he says. What a marvel it is, the keys of death and hell are to our Jesus given. He is strong. He is the Lord of hosts. And this phrase, the Lord of hosts, refers to might, the armies, the Lord of the armies of heaven. Do you not think that I could call 12 legions of angels, he said? 12 legions of angels could have delivered him. But then how would the scriptures be fulfilled? The point here is, however mighty Babylon may be, he is mightier. He has all power, all authority, Jesus says, in heaven and earth has been given unto me and has not been taken away. He is the deliverer. Their Redeemer is strong. How glorious to know that he is mighty. In those days and in that time, says the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together. With continual weeping they shall come and seek the Lord their God. Here is repentance. God's people are a penitent people. They come repenting. They come confessing their sins, weeping and seeking God. Come, let us seek the Lord our God. They had sought to many other things. They had sought to military might. They had sought political alliances. But now they seek the Lord their God together. God's people are united to the Lord Jesus. We seek him. They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces toward it, saying, come and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that will not be forgotten. A new covenant that is sealed by the blood of Christ. He sealed the covenant with his blood. The covenant is in effect in force because his blood has been shed. Indeed, his people have been lost sheep. We all, like sheep, have gone astray and turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. A condemnation of the leadership of the nation. But Christ is the great King, great David's greater son. Christ is our King. And he leads us. He is the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. He is the good shepherd who leads his people through. It is a marvel and a wonder to know him, the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. Not the hireling who seeks his own, not like King Zedekiah who vacillated and wandered, and who at the last tried to run away and hide and was caught by the Babylonians and blinded. No, the Lord Jesus Christ is the great shepherd of the sheep. The great shepherd. There are under shepherds indeed. The Lord is pleased to give to his flock under shepherds. But Christ is the great shepherd. He is the chief shepherd. He is the shepherd who died for us. He is the shepherd who cares. He is the shepherd whose voice we hear, and he leads us. He leads us out. He leads us to fresh pasture. He does not lead us astray from mountain to hill. And the mountains and the hills were the places where pagan worship happened. Instead, he leads us to Mount Zion, to the heavenly hill, to the heavenly Jerusalem. He leads us on till we come at last to his eternal rest. The restoration of the Lord's people is in Christ, the Redeemer. Their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. We cannot have a greater Redeemer than him. And none less than him could redeem us. The God-man, Emmanuel, God with us. He is our Redeemer. Oh, what a wonder it is to have such a Redeemer. For this is the great difference between Babylon and Jerusalem. Jerusalem has a Redeemer. Zion has a Redeemer. Babylon does not. Zion therefore knows the pardon of sin. But Babylon can only know the wrath of God against sin. Babylon knows vengeance and justice. Zion knows pardon, glorious pardon. I will pardon those whom I preserve. What a glory it is to know our sins forgiven. What a glory to know that our Redeemer is strong and the Lord of hosts is his name. Amen.